This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle and Jason Bishop. Johnny Cakes with his daughter at the University of Maryland today for an open house. He'll be back on Monday. Join us right now on the Maps to Us hotline to talk some movies is our pal
JB.
Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. Good morning,
JB.
Kevin.
Good morning, John Paul Flame.
So, Kevin, we were just texting because I wanted to find out what movies you were going to talk about today. And you said that you wanted to get into The Invisible Man because I did see that. I saw that with my son. And I'd probably give it a 4, 4.5 out of 5. I found it to be very intense.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I reviewed the film last week on the show, and I was telling you guys it's a $7 million film, and it opened up to about $29 million at the box office, and it is a terrifying movie. And JP, I know because I know you don't like to get into the super technical stuff of the filmmaking, but like, are you surprised that movie only cost $7 million to make? I mean, were you blown away by how like the visuals were and how they were able to pull some of that stuff off?
I didn't think about it that much. You know what I thought about a lot, and this is maybe being kind of crazy, is that the lead in the movie, the woman, generally the lead, if a woman is a lead in a movie, generally they're very attractive, and she was okay. That's kind of what I thought about a lot, to be honest with you.
I'm not going to comment on that because I think Elizabeth Moss is gorgeous. I feel like the reason why you're saying that is the character is just going through a lot of distress and emotion. I think she's just like terrified the entire time. So I think you're supposed to feel uneasy about her performance and her character, and you know she's not like going to like a she's just dealing with things, which is probably
people,
why
people
you're doing
think she's going crazy. And in fact, there is an invisible man. The other part that got me was, and look, I don't know the science behind it, but the invisible man in the movie used a suit. And, and my thing is, the way that the suit was, it almost would act like a mirror. So I don't understand how you would actually see through. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what makes the movie so terrifying. So basically, and I won't get into minutia about this because I am going to review Onward and Way Back, and I wanted to discuss the Bond news. But this particular thing you're asking is actually super fascinating. So in the film, they were able to figure out a kind of a scientific, realistic way to portray an invisible man. So there's no potion. There's no what they're doing in the film is the character has a suit, and this is not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. You see her pour paint on the Invisible Man in the movie, and you see the suit pop up a little bit. All it is a bunch of cameras that are all orchestrated around the suit. And this is going to get super nerdy, but this is what they figured out. They actually were able to understand that this could be something that could be pulled off for real with the right amount of money and in years from now, which is why the movie's so scary, because the tech isn't so far out of your reach, JP, that like it's when you watch a movie, sometimes there's two things happening. Your mind goes, okay, that's not real. Avatar is not real. I can suspend my disbelief. I can jump into the storyline, but I know at the end of the day, this is not real. What makes Invisible Man so scary is that they ground it in a domestic abuse scenario with a situation where an optic scientist is able to figure out a way to make a suit that will allow him to be invisible. Now, to answer your question, JP, what's going on is the back of the suit, all the cameras in the back of the suit are filming behind the Invisible Man and projecting a hologram in front, which makes it look like he's not there. And that happens in a full 360. The science that they actually created to understand how this could go down is insane.
We don't even need to get in the minutia, because what I'd say about the movie is it's very suspenseful. And a lot of suspenseful movies, they use music and scenarios where you don't even have to show, you know, a killing or something like that. You're just kind of waiting for it. And so
there's
I thought it was well done.
There's a scene in Invisible Man, and then we can move on from this point, where it takes place at a restaurant, which I won't go into. I won't spoil what happens. But I was curious, JP, on a vague level, and people who out there would see, who've seen the film, it's a sequence with Elizabeth Moss and her sister at a restaurant. Were you what happened to your face when that happened? Like, did your jaw drop? That was pretty nuts, right?
Not really. I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere, but then again, it didn't.
Yeah, I was freaked out, man. I saw it twice, and that scene freaked me out. But yeah, well, if anybody out there listening, go see it. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. And also, I got a couple messages from your listeners the other day about the movie Upgrade. This is the same director that directed The Invisible Man, Lee Winnell. $3 million film. It's on HBO on demand. If you haven't seen it, it's called Upgrade. It will blow your mind. It's amazing.
Right, you gave The Invisible Man like a 4.5 out of 5, I believe it was.
I did.
All right,
yeah.
So let's get into The Way Back. That's the Ben Affleck alcoholic basketball coach comeback movie.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed this movie a lot on the show, so I won't go into too much detail except for the fact that it works. I mean, Gavin O'Connor is a great director. I know you guys have all seen Miracle. You guys have all seen The Accountant. Two great films. Remember the movie Warrior? We've mentioned that before. Warrior's an MMA film. That might be my movies people sleep on for the week. That movie is genuinely brilliant. Warrior with Joel Edgerton, Nick Nolte, and Tom Hardy. But yeah, Way Back is essentially the character of Ben Affleck. He's called back to his high school where he was a basketball phenom when he was in high school. He became an alcoholic over the years, and now he's going back to the school to coach and struggling with alcoholism at the same time, trying to change these kids' lives as they change his. I will give the movie credit for being R-rated. This is a movie you don't normally see sports or inspirational sports films with R ratings on them. Some of them, yes, but majority of the time they're not. And to have high school kids talking like high school kids would talk, that really kind of added to the realism of it and the way it was shot. My problem with the film is that, this is going to sound weird, at times it's hard not to see Ben Affleck because it's so paralleled. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Eric? Like, it's one of those weird things.
All I see is Ben Affleck. Some of these guys, they become too famous, and and this is too parallel to his life.
But doesn't interest you, though?
I don't know.
I mean, Jason, what you're saying about interest, to Eric's point, this is where it gets tricky, right? So, for example, I can watch people like Brad Pitt, very famous actors, Bradley Cooper, for example, in A Star is Born. I don't think of Bradley Cooper. The character of Jackson Maine takes over, and I don't see Cooper anymore because you get involved in the story.
Right.
But when you have someone like Affleck playing himself, and there is actual video of Affleck in his real life going through certain things that this character goes through, whether it be visibly drunk on video. I mean, that is something that we've seen on TMZ and seen in the news. So when you see it in the movie and a character's doing it, it's hard not to do that. So it becomes one of those weird things where I get that Affleck did it because it was therapeutic, but I also understand it's also hard as an audience member to suspend your disbelief in the story if you're thinking about Affleck a lot. That being said, Affleck is phenomenal. But, I mean, that's the thing, is if he's experienced these things, is it really that much of a stretch from a performance standpoint? That's where it gets interesting. It's shot really well. The basketball scenes are great. You guys asked me about the basketball scenes. They're shot very, very well. It's shot like a documentary almost.
Are those actors, or are they real basketball players?
So they're actors. It's funny you asked that, because I was wondering the same thing when I was doing the interviews for it.
That's not good. Yeah.
Well, no, they're really good in it. Like, they're actually great. Like, that's where the movie is strong, is the basketball scenes. Anytime we're on the court with the kids, and like, you guys have to imagine this. It's kind of cool when a coach can drop F-bombs in his inspirational speech, because you don't get to do that in like normal inspirational sports stories that are PG or PG-13. So this one did feel more real in that regard. It's just fine. It's a good movie. It's not great. I just would give it a 3.5 out of 5. I wanted to love it. I wanted to cry. I just couldn't stop thinking about Affleck over the character. That was my biggest hurdle for me.
All right, so real quick, we just have a minute or two left. Onward is a Pixar movie. Is it good?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 3.5 out of 5. It's fine. Again, it's not up there with Up or Wall-E or Toy Story 3 or Inside Out. Those, to me, are like the pinnacle top Pixar film. This one's just fine. It's about two brothers who are going on a magical journey to try and spend one last day with their father. It has a very emotional element to it that I was hoping to cry, but it didn't really grab me that much because some of the writing was a little off. I gave that a 3.5 out of 5. And I wanted to ask you guys real quick before I went with the Bond news and that movie being pushed from April to November because of the coronavirus and the global aspect of things. I was just curious if you guys were going to be like not going to the movies over the next couple weeks or months. Or
I don't go anyway. That's not a fair. But I might.
I might go see The Way Back. I'm sorry, I missed your rating on The Way Back.
Way Back, I gave it 3.5 out of 5 too. Okay. But honestly,
maybe
Jason,
I won't go see it. No. Yeah, go ahead,
Jason, do me a favor. See Invisible Man. I mean, I know it might not be like of interest because it's like, oh, it's like Invisible Man. We've seen Hollow Man. We've seen this story since, you know, for over 100 years. But I genuinely think you would love it.
It's a good suspense movie, man.
Great suspense film.
Here's my little tagline. It would be Enough Meets the Gift.
Yeah. You know, I can see that. Oh, yeah, there's definitely that element there. It's when you ground it with the domestic violence aspect of it, with the storyline, that's what makes it so real. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I think, Jason, I think, Eric, I think if you guys saw the movie, you would walk out and go, that was great. Like, it's a very intense ride. It's just a very
intense I'll go see it right after Bickle sees it.
By the way, why did they move the Bond movie back 7 months? Does it have to do with, like, bioterrorism or something?
So that's where it gets interesting, and I'll keep this quick. So basically, Bond is a global film. So look at Skyfall. That movie made $1.1 billion worldwide at the box office. Over $800 million of that was international. So if you're James Bond, why would you release a film in the middle of what's happening right now? Because you lose your China box office, you lose your Italy, France. If you put a movie out domestically in the U.S., it will get pirated immediately to all the countries that aren't playing it because of the coronavirus. So the reason why it's 7 months, though, that's where the tricky things comes in. It's not 7 months because they don't want people to go see it for 7 months. It's because they had to find an IMAX window, in my opinion. Every movie has a deal with IMAX throughout the year.
We
schedule
it.
Those screens. So that's how it works.
I got it. I mean, you just had to say that, and I got it.
I love you guys.
That's Eric's way of saying
that. No. I was listening to him, but he didn't need to waste verbiage.
Have a good weekend, Kevin McCarthy.
You know, maybe really laugh, by the way. The first 5 minutes of this segment, I didn't even know Eric or Jason were there.
JP's the movie guy here. Maybe Jason a little bit. I'm pretty much out on movies.
Well, they hadn't seen The Invisible Man. I think Jason would really like The Invisible Man. EB, maybe not
probably
so
not.
Much.
Yeah.
No. Well, listen, I love you guys.
I
have a good weekend.
Stay safe. Suspend his
disbelief. Later. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. See you, buddy.
Isn't it crazy about Montgomery County, by the way? I just moved there a couple years ago. This is wild, man.
Where do you live in Montgomery County?
I'm in Silver Spring. I was talking to my wife last night about the
lives where
cases.
Indian Spring used to be. He lives right there.
Oh, okay.
In those communities.
Yeah. So do we know where these three cases are coming from?
Kevin, here's the thing. We're going to move on. You just have to accept this. Corona is going to be everywhere. Everyone's going to get it. Just try not to spread it to your grandparents. So that's really the thing. Everyone's going to get it. How are you dealing with your OCD? It's probably hard, right?
I have not washed my hands this much since.
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing, though. I am, too. You just got to wash your hands, but accept it. It's ubiquitous. Millions are going to get it. It's going to be in every county and every state.
Are you freaked out about your kids in school and stuff?
No, because my kids will be fine. Hey. I just don't want my kids to spread it to my in-laws.
Hey, instead of washing your hands so much, brush your teeth a little more.
Yeah,
teeth. You guys, my breath is on point now. I'm so happy about my breath. I brush and floss every day. My breath is freaking awesome
good for
now.
I challenge that.
All
right, Kev, got to run.
JP.
All right.
That's Kevin McCarthy. Remember, later in the show, we got John Feinstein. He will join us at 8. Coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Later in the program, we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to a Caps game driven by our friends at AAA. AAA Drive with Confidence. Don't want to miss the Caps' final home games as they make a push for the playoffs. You can get details at thefandc.com. So that will be right around 9:45. But right now, we wanted to kind of get into the latest Redskins news. Which is, I guess, the team has signaled to Trent Williams, go out and find yourself a team to play for.
Well, they met.
We're going to trade you.
No, not necessarily. They want to work with him.
Yeah.
My understanding of it is they want to work with him, but if he's not happy and he wants another contract, then they say, well, go ahead and see if you can work out a trade. I actually think
seems to be the likeliest path.
But the trade has to make sense for the Redskins.
Yeah, right. They're not going to do it unless it makes sense. Yeah. I could be crazy. But I think often in these situations, now Trent looks great, even though he's doing these weird, like half squats and half bench reps or whatever and putting on social media. It's really weird. But I think it's possible in situations like this, I think it happens often. The market is not what they think it is. Like if he still thinks he's $110 million contract Trent Williams in the league's eyes, I think he's going
to
be
his age.
Exactly.
If he was 27,
age and injury history.
Right.
And they're just going to look at the number of games he's played in the last 5 years. They're not going to doubt his ability.
No, but he might be a 3-year $65 million player or a 4-year $70 million player.
I think that's a little high.
Maybe.
I think he's going to find out.
That's why he's going to try and work something
and
out.
I think this is good for all involved. I think he's going to find the market is going to be fine. There'll be a few teams that want him. But they're not gonna pay him what he thinks he's gonna get.
But in the end, you're not gonna have him as your left tackle. It seems he was. I don't know who. Texted
Unless
him
the
this.
Market bottoms out.
Okay, but the article in the Washington Post says, asked in a text whether he is done with the Redskins, Williams replied, "Yeah, pretty much."
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like he doesn't want to play for the Redskins. It didn't matter that they got rid of Bruce Allen. That they got rid of
because money is
staff.
Ultimately the big thing.
He just wants a change of scenery.
Well, he
Trent
wants money.
Williams
well, they're probably
prefers a change of scenery. No, but he doesn't.
Money.
I don't think he wants it from the Redskins.
No. Well, I don't interpret it that way. I'm interpreting it differently than you.
Too. How do you interpret it differently when he says I'm pretty much done?
Because
with the
they told him. They probably told him they're not going to give him the money he's looking for.
JP, they probably said you play on your last deal. You make your 12 and a half, and then we'll talk at the end of the season.
Or you know,
and he probably wants. He
or served, we'll give you 1 year or something. You know what I mean?
He wants security. He wants a 3 or 4 year deal, and they said no.
That's how I interpret that.
I interpret it as he doesn't want to play with the Redskins. I take his word.
I think he would play if the money was there.
He left the door open by saying, yeah, pretty much. He didn't even leave the door open before. I'm telling you, the way I read it, and I'm basically a genius at this, is this is a money thing. That he would stay here, and I think the reporting has been that.
But I mean,
he wants a new contract.
This is from November, but the quotes from him are talking about that. He was then talking about the Redskins in the past tense, and now he's saying he's pretty much done with the Redskins. What he said in November, and he doesn't talk much, at least to the media, he said, I did a lot for that organization. They did a lot for me in return. I don't have any type of grudge. Things didn't work out for me there. I'm just focused on being the best football player I can be for the next organization.
Right.
So you're telling me if the Skins offered him a 4-year deal, $65 million with... I don't know.
45 million
guaranteed or 40 million guaranteed. He wouldn't take that?
I think he would take it.
I think he would sign it in a heartbeat.
Maybe that would happen. But
it's the money is the issue.
It's better than
but
going
it doesn't
out and trying
seem
to
like
force a trade and orchestrate a trade.
It doesn't seem like they're offering him that.
Correct.
That's why he wants to move on. Exactly. That's why. Because of money.
You're agreeing
it's not
with
because, us, yeah, you agree. It's not because he's unwilling to play here. He's unwilling to play here because they're not going to give him the money he wants.
Then why? I don't know. I think all things being equal, he wants to change the scenery.
Why is his agent saying it has nothing to do with a new contract then?
I don't believe him.
They're trying to save face.
I just don't believe him.
It always has to do with money. Even at the beginning, it had to do with the money.
In the beginning, sure, but I'm talking about right now.
It still does. Because he talked to Rivera. They had a good conversation. You know, if he was not interested, he wouldn't have bothered with any of that. He would just say,
although
no.
Although he said that it lasted 5 minutes, which I was kind of surprised at.
Well, because
if that's true.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
true.
I believe him. If they says, if he
look,
says
if they can work out a trade, great. It's got to make sense for the Skins. And then if they do trade him, then that's just another hole you got to fill.
I'll say this. He's he's a great player when he's out there. He's a warrior. He put his body on the line for the Redskins. I'll always be appreciative of that. I can't imagine a bigger warrior. But the left tackle didn't hold them back last year. They brought in an old bum, basically. I mean, he was a good player in his heyday, Donald Penn. Mm-hmm. And he held up fine. He wasn't great, but he held up fine.
All right, let me ask you this.
So he's replaceable.
Trent Williams' agent finds a team that is interested in him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are going to be several teams. I mean, he's, what, seven-time Pro
Depends
Bowler?
Depends on the money.
He finds a deal, but it only would net the Redskins a third-round pick.
I mean,
they
want
a second-round pick. Do you think the Redskins are making the right move by trading Trent Williams if it only nets a third-round pick? We can throw it out there to some Redskins fans, 800-636-1067. Or do you think the Redskins should offer that deal that you're throwing out, your hypothetical scenario where he gets like $40 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. and they should say, he's our most elite player. They don't have guys who are like in the top 100 players in the NFL. He's the only guy when he's active. Who's the top 100
I don't know.
Player?
Just on the wrong side of it.
I have no idea what guys are available in free agency. I don't know where they stack guys up. I mean, who knows? We have no idea who's good and who's bad. If it makes sense for the Skins in the third round, if you know he's not going to play for the $12.5 million, it's better than him sitting out again. He's not going to sit out again, I don't think. But
yeah. I get whatever you can at this point. It's a losing cause.
So you don't force him.
Say again?
Like, what if you force his hand? You call his bluff.
Nah, I mean,
it didn't work out. Like you said, he sat out a year.
Do you want to deal with that
again? Did you sit out again?
I just would get.
I don't think you would.
I trust their instincts on it, their ability to read them. I trust Ron Rivera's ability to read them and see, you know, and I would just, whatever. I trust Ron Rivera on this one.
You don't think his ability to read them is that he's not that interested in being on the Redskins? That's the way I interpret it all.
I interpret it. He's not interested in being here unless they give him a new deal, and they're not committed to giving him a new deal. They're looking at the injury history.
This dovetails into just my perception of the whole number two pick to a thing, and maybe it shouldn't. But the fact that Rivera and the Redskins appear very willing to move on from Trent Williams and deal him makes me think it's more likely that they would be willing to draft Tua because it would be somebody else who would be their guy, not the old regime's guy.
Well, I agree with you, except that I think that Dan's going to step in and they don't have a say in it. I don't care what they say at the presser, that it's coach-centered and all that. It's never coach-centered with Dan there. It never has been. It never will be. So I don't doubt at all that you're 100% right, that his instinct is that Tua's going to be markedly better. He'd like to have him, but he can't make that call. I'll tell you that right now. He can't make that call.
Well, that's sad if that's true.
Well, of course it's true. It's always been true. It's never not been true. Things are not going to change.
I think
when you marry your wife, you think your wife's going to change 20 years in? Honestly, is your wife going to change?
Probably not.
Yeah, same thing. Nothing's different. He's a human being. He is who he is. He's a meddling little nerd, you know, socially awkward, loser. It's not going to change. Yeah. Not going to all of a sudden be awesome.
If that part's true.
That what?
That he doesn't want to take Tua.
I believe it. Because he stood on the table and he put his foot down for Haskins. He's not going to give up on him.
Yeah,
he didn't give up on Dwayne. It took him a couple years to give up on Robert.
Bruce Allen. We never thought that was going to
happen. Took him 10 years.
But my point is, he has changed a little bit. I mean, he gave up on his guy, Bruce Allen.
No,
I didn't think that was
going to
happen.
He gave up on Vinny, too.
I took my money on that. I told you Bruce was going to be out.
I thought I paid you.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I don't know. Check the book. If I owe you, I owe you. Yeah. But it took him 10 years. Look, he got rid of Vinny, too.
You owe me for the Clippers Rockets.
I know, that's a big loser.
Dan's track record. He got rid of Robert. Dan's track record is he eventually will get rid of you, but he's pretty loyal for a while.
By the way, if they did take Tua, they don't need the left tackle. They need the right tackle.
Well, they've got him in Morgan Moses.
All right. They need an elite right tackle.
Well, that's the problem. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
Morgan is locked in.
Maybe they can switch him to the left. I don't know. But
I don't think so.
I don't think they are going to.
I don't think you want to do that. If you're struggling at right tackle.
I'm saying if you have Tua, you need the elite right tackle.
And the right guard, Sheriff, who's, I guess they're going to franchise, seems to be the conventional.
Tua is, I don't know why you guys don't understand this. The chances of them drafting Tua are 0.0.
I agree with you.
I don't agree with you.
Yeah.
All right, let's make another wager.
I'll put
no, because I don't think it's
0.0.
likely. I think it's
no
like
chance.
20%.
No, because Dan's not going to allow it.
I'll give you odds.
It doesn't matter if Rivera wants it. It means nothing.
Odds is kind of a sucker play, though, because I side with you.
Like,
the odds has to be overwhelming.
But then you'd be rooting for it. I'll give you 4-1 odds.
That's not overwhelming. It's got to be like 10-1.
Oh, jeez.
Because I just said I give it about a 20% chance they draft Tua. So that means 8 out of 10 would be a loser.
I mean, I don't want to make a Chris Russell-like bet, but they're just not going to move on from Haskins yet. They will at some point, but not yet. If he doesn't, you know, perform. They're not going to give up on him.
But
the owner's pick after he played 5.5 games.
Well, they're moving on from the owner's left tackle, who's a Pro Bowler for 7 years.
He also mother effed the franchise.
I understand that.
He also's been hurt. He's also 31.
I know, but the owner supposedly flew him to the hospitals and all these different things.
People burn bridges.
He's fired coaches. He's handpicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Quickly. How? How quickly?
I mean, pretty quickly.
What do you mean?
Not
what's
after
what's
a
pretty
year.
Quickly? Not after a year. I mean, Shoddy's the only one.
Marty, yeah.
And
Zornet, how many years is Zornet? Two.
Two.
All right.
That's because he wanted that Steve Spurrier.
All right, first of all, he didn't want.
Lasted 2 years.
They didn't want Zorn.
He hired
Zorn
him.
Was the last man standing. So that doesn't even count.
I disagree with Eric in a lot of this. I think he has changed a little bit.
Give me evidence that he's changed.
I'm not saying that he's going to take Tua, but.
Oh, no. Okay, I agree with you.
People do change. You learn things.
It's rare.
Been in the business for 20 years.
Give me one example.
I just gave you one. Bruce Allen. You didn't think Bruce Allen was going to be fired. You thought maybe reassigned.
Maybe. Yeah, I was surprised. But I don't think it's indicative of changing because he did that with Vinny. So
let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens. I think they're going to take Chase Young or trade out of it.
Yeah.
But
I actually don't think Dan's going to change.
People, he hired this whole new team. If they actually went in there and said, you know what? Haskins just isn't the guy. We know football. You don't. Tua is going to be our guy. I could see them doing it. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I also think that Rivera, it was part of the job description.
Yeah. All right.
Told him that, listen, we think we can work with this kid.
That's a possibility too. Yes. Yes.
And so I think it's all smoke. It's a 0% chance that Tua goes to the Redskins.
I would agree.
Zero. And you can play this. Mark this down on your little, when EB said at 7:36, we're going to make fun of EB, you know, right when they pick him.
Yep.
Write it down. I know you have. It ain't happening. All right. Let's go to Bill in Gaithersburg. Bill, what's up?
Hey, man. Great show. They are going to release the left tackle. This is just nothing but a business dance. I'm a 50-year veteran season ticket holder who dropped them this season.
Nice.
I am not buying another Redskins season ticket for many, many years.
Well, that'd be stupid. Yeah, you can get them cheaper week to week.
Absolutely. It was insane that I kept going as long as I did.
It was insane.
Their product is awful. The stadium is not that good. I'll go once in a while. If it's a game, I'll still cheer for them.
Of course.
But I think they're going to – actually, I think they're going to go for Tua.
So you think Dan will give up on his pick?
Yeah, I think he'll throw him under the bus. I think he'll get he'll be the shiny coin, and Dan will go for the shiny coin. And in spite of the Bullis connection, I think he's going to go Tua because that's the shiny coin right now.
I think the Bullis connection is overrated. I'm so sick of that.
Here's the thing about his pick. Okay, you could say it was Dan Snyder's pick. And there's some
documented
sort of connection and all those things. He also was a guy, Dwayne Haskins, who was highly rated. He was highly rated by a lot of scouts.
Yeah, but the coach didn't want him.
It fit conveniently into the owner's
the
narrative.
The coach who got whacked maybe didn't want him. But a lot of the scouts were high on him. There were some scouts who thought that Dwayne Haskins
not the Redskins scouts
a better prospect than Daniel Jones, who was drafted much higher than Haskins. He wasn't drafted number one. He was drafted 15th. Which I think was a reasonable spot to select.
So do you not believe the reporting? The local reporting is almost unanimous that the football people didn't want Dwayne, but that Bruce or that Dan did. So you can ignore that reporting and say, I'm not ignoring it.
I can buy that, but what I'm saying is it wasn't an unreasonable pick. It wasn't like they were taking.
That's an argument for another day.
They weren't taking a third round.
Who cares
pick
if
and
it was
who, there
at this point? Who cares if it was reasonable or not? That's irrelevant.
But it also
the point
with,
is the owner
also,
made the pick.
But it also was with what I thought at the time was a lame duck coach. And it proved out to be a lame duck coach who got whacked.
Right, so if the roles were reversed.
If Ron Rivera was here last year, I buy into him having power.
And they needed a quarterback. Jay Gruden's lame duck. But if Rivera had just been hired and they needed a quarterback, do you think Dan Snyder would still have handpicked Dwayne if Ron Rivera didn't want him? I don't think so.
I think Rivera's got the power.
Rivera was here for 5 years already?
No, Rivera was just hired.
Oh, just hired.
And they need a quarterback, right?
They might have deferred to him there.
And that's what I think is going to happen this year. They're deferring.
It's
not just going to be Daniel Snyder saying, you're going to have to draft my guy if his guy indeed is Chase Young.
You know what? Let's just wait and see. Let's wait and see what happens.
Well, no, it's fun to argue.
I know, but...
I like arguing about it.
We're going nowhere with it because we've argued about it for two straight weeks, and we know how you feel. I feel the same way.
But there's different news.
We know
that
how
comes
JP
out.
Feels.
All I'm saying is the Trent Williams thing.
You don't know what to believe.
True.
You have no idea what to believe.
I actually think I'm a genius at reading people. I actually think I'm a genius.
You thought Bruce Allen was still going to be employed by the Redskins?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Genius.
All right. Anyway,
I really do believe I'm a genius.
All right, look, you're also a genius if you send your kid to Coach Wooten's basketball camp. All right, so give your child a first-class hoops experience and a first-class life experience at Coach Wooten's basketball camp. Their goal is for campers to love basketball even more. They instill confidence in your kid. They teach the game. The kids have fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on that kid's basketball IQ, competitions, contests, guest speakers, 3 games per day. Instruction is the difference. At Coach Wooten's basketball camp, register your child today, CoachWooten.com, spelled with 2 O's and 2 T's.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I'm going to tell you, I'm pleasantly surprised DB is not as hysterical about the news that there were 3 cases of the coronavirus in Montgomery County.
Here we go. Here's the virus mania segment.
I think he's not as hysterical.
Well, I haven't been. I told you last Wednesday this was going to happen. This is all according to plan. Go to the audio. When I saw what was happening in Europe, I accepted that this is what's going to happen here.
All right, give us the update on Montgomery County.
An elderly couple that went on a cruise, another guy in his 50s went in a cruise, and shocker, they got it. They didn't say where. They weren't very specific, and I don't even care.
Just said overseas.
It doesn't matter.
So where are they now? Where is that couple? Are they quarantined?
I'm not sure if they're in the hospital.
They said all 3 are doing well, so that's fine. Or they're doing good, whatever that means. But that's silly because my guess is hundreds, if not thousands, in the state already have it, and everyone's just kind of spreading it. So I've accepted that it's just like the influenza that, you know, millions of Americans, but, you know, within a year or two are going to have it. And I accept. But one thing that made me feel really good is reading some articles. And like in South Korea, I'll give you an example. 140,000 people have been tested. Mm-hmm. The death rate is 0.6, right? Death rate's going to go way down as the mild cases are counted. Right. It's not nearly as lethal, except for they're vulnerable. And I feel like they're sitting ducks,
right.
the elderly. And people that are sick with underlying health conditions. I feel terrible about that. And I'm very fearful for them.
We use this word all the time for this compromised immune system.
Yes. Well, it's a real thing.
Those people are,
you know, I have a friend that has cancer. Yeah. He's got a compromised immune system. My daughter takes a medicine. My daughter kind of has a compromised immune system. Now, her immune system is overreactive, not underreactive. Mm-hmm. So I think she would be okay if she got it.
So Montgomery County sent out, I guess they sent an email.
Well, they've
to
been
you.
Sending emails for the last few weeks.
Now,
saying,
I could have missed it, but I don't think Loudoun County has sent anything similar to what you got.
Well, they've been sending it for weeks saying, be prepared, that we're prepared, that if it gets to a point where we think it's hit our population here, our student population, that we have a contingency plan for kids to work from home.
What's that number, do you think?
I have no idea. I mean, use Washington as an example.
They're ready for it. Governor Hogan declared a state of emergency. I don't know
that's
exactly
a funding
what that
thing.
Means.
That's right. Just a funding
that's
thing.
What I told my
doesn't
wife.
Mean anything. It's a
said,
funding
I'm pretty
thing.
Pretty sure it's just to get federal money.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we're in crisis.
Correct.
But I think I'm being very reasonable about it. We just have to accept that this is a new virus. Like we have a million viruses. It's a new one that we have to deal with. It could be particularly dangerous to certain people. And some people are going to draw the unlucky number. They're going to be the perfectly healthy 35-year-old to get boned on this one. And that, but that, you know, that
look,
happens
I'm
too when you walk across the street.
I'm surprised that you've backed off your panic that we were all going to die.
I don't know that I said. Maybe I said that. Maybe I said that in humor. I don't think I ever really believed that. But I do wash my hands like crazy. I've asked my kids to wash their hands like crazy. I come in here and I clean the doorknobs and I clean my area. I think people should do it because I don't want to spread it to my mother.
Right, my mother
is in her 80s. I don't want to spread it to my mother. I don't want my kids to spread it to my mother. I don't want them to spread it to your mother, to my neighbors. Yeah. So that is what I think the issue is. So I don't know. I think it's very reasonable. There's a Slate article. I think Slate is garbage, but they actually have an article that was really, really good, and it was done by a Harvard doctor, and it basically explained how it's not nearly as deadly as the World Health Organization is saying because they, you know, obviously they haven't tested all of the people that have mild and don't even realize they have it that are asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. So then they really, the experts really believe it'll be under one, but still higher than the flu, still more dangerous than the flu, but that the people that are particularly vulnerable are elderly and compromised immune system people. And so those, I actually feel we have a responsibility as human beings to protect those people. So, if you're a scumbag that's coughing all over the place, and if you have, even cold symptoms and you're going to work, you're really not being fair. You're kind of being selfish. So, like, this guy in Seattle that worked concessions at the XFL right. game and exposed himself to 22,000 people, I mean, that guy's kind of a dick. If he had, like, cold symptoms and he's doing that. I think, right now in particular, with this particular virus going around, I think if you're going to work with cold symptoms, you're really being a dick.
But you don't know that about that person. They might not have felt
bad. He might have been asymptomatic.
Yeah.
And I give him that benefit of the doubt. But if you're going to work sick, you're really being a dick. That's the bottom line. That's kind of always been true, but it's really true right now because this one is more dangerous. It just is. I think regular people are going to be fine. Our kids are going to be fine. Kids seem to go through this almost unscathed. So I think kids will be fine. But the worry is kids. And by the way, your pets. Now, there's some differing opinions on this. Some people are saying the pets only get a mild version of this. And so don't worry about the transmission. But I know directly from a meeting yesterday at NIH. I got the notes from a meeting. I didn't ask for them. They were sent to me. The NIH people told their employees that if your pet, if you have a, they use the word a furry pet. If you have a furry pet that gets the virus and then he sits on your grandma's lap, your grandma now has the virus. So I would just say to pet owners, be careful.
Look at you with your NIH sources.
I didn't ask for it. It was sent to me. Notes from the meeting yesterday.
So the virus can live in
the pet
fur?
Hair, I guess. Wow. Maybe for a few hours. They say for a few, like how long? Some people say it can last as long as 9 days on hard surface.
I got a furry pet. Tell
some,
you that.
Some people say
it's all over my floors.
Yeah. Some people say.
That's why your back hurts. You always have the dustbuster.
Oh, I do it
over.
So much. I do it all the time. Swiffering.
Some people say on the hard surfaces that they think the virus can last as long as 9 days. Well, if that's true, then literally everyone in the world will get it. I think they think the realistic version is a few hours probably before the virus dies. But, I think everybody should do their due diligence. I go to the bathroom, I see a line of people washing their hands. So that's pretty good.
Just
right?
Keep doing it. That's all you can do.
But I wouldn't lick my fingers after I had pizza like Michael Bloomberg. I wouldn't
right.
do that. Definitely.
Because the pizza touched somebody else? Like, what is the fear there?
Well, you just say you're touching stuff and you have, there's germs and stuff and now you're eating the germs. I mean, if you want to do that and say you've always done that, fine. But there actually is a strain of a virus out there that is more lethal than the regular virus. It's not going to kill the world, but it's certainly exposing elderly and people with compromised immune systems more than typical. So I think you have sort of a responsibility as a human.
I know, but I'm just wondering, because I actually had two slices of pizza last night from Giuseppe's.
So eat the pizza. Just don't lick your fingers.
Yeah, but sometimes it spills on you. And you just...
Well, then wash your hands immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Because, here's the problem. If you have a virus, this virus, you can have it for 2 weeks, asymptomatic. But asymptomatic people are spreading it also.
I understand.
So that's why.
I just didn't understand what the fear was. So if my pizza comes on a plate, and I'm not touching the counter, I eat the pizza,
and you lick your fingers. But because then you're going to shake someone's hand, and you're asymptomatic, and you've now spread the disease.
You're not even think about it. That's what you do. That's what you've done for 50 years. You're going to lick your fingers.
I don't really lick my
fingers.
I'm
not really a finger licker.
Whatever.
Not the way Bloomberg did it. The way Bloomberg did it was ridiculous. It looked like a Lewinsky, the way he was doing.
There's stuff you're going to do that you always have done, and you're not going to think about it. You're not going to think about the corona when you're eating a meal.
Now, Drabby.
I saw a video on of Trump who said, try not to touch your face, and he was like bragging.
He was joking. I heard it.
And then you watch the video, and it's impossible to stop things like that.
It is. And he said, of course I was joking. Of course I touch my face, but you try not to. So, Drabby.
What?
What have I said that's hysterical? What have I said that's crazy?
Well, you're just entertaining me.
Okay, but what have I said that's hysterical or panicked?
Oh, today you've been pretty good.
Yeah, today you're reasonable. Today,
I've been this way I've been this way since the week since I read that article
that's
from
true.
the Harvard doctor.
You've been better. You did not say I hope your baby doesn't die, as you said last week.
Last week you were hysterical.
Well, there's some more information that's come out. Last week we didn't know. Thank God. It looks like it's not as lethal as we thought. Because listen, if the World Health Organization is right and basically it's a 4% death rate, it means 1 in 25 that get it are going to donk off. That's going to impact literally everyone around here. But that's not I don't think that's accurate.
All right, coming up next, we've got John Feinstein, and after him we have Tony Pauline, who is an NFL draft analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. We'll get back into the Redskins and the NFL draft and the combine and more. But it's Fridays with Feinstein next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today. All right.